Holy Spirit, I pray you speak more loudly and more clearly than just my words today. Amen. Good morning. Welcome, everybody, to the People's Church. My name is Yinch, and I'll be kicking off a new series called Knowing. There are cards out at information point outside if you want to find out more about it. And the Knowing series is based on an excellent book by Pete and Jerry Scazzero called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. Can you see why we call it Knowing instead of this? I've met Pete Scazzero, and he admits this is hard to say out loud even. It's really, really long. It is true. It is about emotional health in our spirituality, but Knowing is what you're calling it here. So today's talk, we'll start by, is a week one. Know yourself that you may know God. And these are the sections we'll go through. Why know yourself? How are you feeling? Disguises, and who am I? So let's start by the very first question of asking, why know yourself? Things go wrong when we don't know our true self, when we concentrate our efforts and actions around a false image of ourselves. We're not working with reality. If we understand our true image, we are working with reality, the reality that God designed us for. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we read that, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, man and woman." So we are created in God's image. This is an important starting point. As we try to find our true self, this self is based on the design of God. True image. So what do we mean by true? I mean, the word true may seem obvious, like something is true or something is false. I guess the first idea we have for the word true is something that is real. So true image is a real image. But true image is also to say that something is an accurate image. Like when you look in a mirror, you see a true image of itself, you know, sometimes terrifying in the morning. But also when you look in the carnival mirror, which is all distorted, then that is not a true image. Even though the distorted image is real, it's not accurate. And the third definition of the word true is aligned, like a plumb line. When something's aligned, it's true. Our true self is real, an accurate likeness of God, and aligned with God. To have a true image is to have common ground with God. Knowing ourselves, our true selves, gives us common ground. So sometimes, you know, when you've seen the same movie, then you can talk to people about it. Oh, do you see that Avengers movie? Do you like the bit with that bit happened? No spoilers, don't worry. And then if you know the same story, you've read the same stories growing up, like my wife Rebecca and I, we read Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy separately when we were young. And so when we met, it was a bit of common ground that we had. Knowing the same place, like the places you visited. Did you visit that place or somewhere from your hometown? When you meet somebody from your hometown, you can talk about all the places you should go when you were a child. When we know the same true self as God knows, we are talking about the same thing. On the subject of talking about the same thing. Some years ago, when my wife, Rebecca, was first pregnant, there was the exciting first time to have the ultrasound of the new baby growing inside. The miracle of life. The date was in the calendar and the time. We were going to meet at a hospital in Chelsea, traveling separately from our offices. I got to the hospital reception, but did not see Rebecca there. And about 5 minutes after the appointment was about to start, my phone rang, and Rebecca was asking where I was. But I was right at the lobby, and I hadn't seen her. Here is the hospital I was waiting in. You can see the word says Cromwell Hospital. I was convinced that this was the right hospital in Chelsea. I mean, how many hospitals can there be in Chelsea, right? Apparently, there's another hospital in Chelsea. This is the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital where Rebecca got her ultrasound without me for the first time. I didn't miss the next appointment. I knew where the hospital the next time. I hope missing the first scan did not do our son Jonathan too much harm. God desires to to meet us as our true self. But if we wait for him somewhere else, then we will have trouble finding him. And he'll have to phone us and say, "Where are you?" Since we are created in his image, knowing our true self is to know God's image. And knowing God's image is to know acceptance and love. Another true thing about God is that God feels. So it's okay to feel. It's also true that we, especially men, are not that good at dealing with feelings. I'm fine for feelings, that's fine. Or reading instructions. So one of the challenges for me today is that I'm trying to convey instructions about dealing with feelings. Here's a book. Instructions about Emotions. There's a guaranteed men's bestseller. How about if I include a free packet of crisps? Does that help? How many men here are now suddenly thinking about football, or what's for lunch, or mowing the lawn, or bowling for some reason? Thanks, Eddie. Pete Scazzaro himself spent many years of his ministry ignoring and mishandling his emotions. It endangered his ministry, his church, his career, his marriage, and his family. Through the grace of God and the patience and persistence of his wife, Jerry, he was transformed, and his journey is the basis of this book. This book changed my life. God feels. In this gospel, through Christ, we see a God that is merciful, that loves, and that forgives. And he was a man just like us. We are shown how to be more like Christ by him being merciful, loving, and forgiving. The example of the man Jesus is the model God has given for us to follow. In the same way, we see Jesus felt and had feelings. In the parable of the shepherd, Jesus says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep." In Matthew 26:37, we see that he is sorrowful and troubled. In Mark 3:5, angry and deeply distressed. In Luke 10:21, at the same time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, because of good news revealed to the innocents. And obviously, in John 11:35, Jesus wept. Jesus had feelings, both positive and difficult ones, which he dealt with. Understanding our feelings leads us to discover our true self. We are influenced by our feelings. We need to know the source of these feelings. I don't know if you can see from the back, but this is a picture of junk mail. Some of our feelings come from false selves, which we'll talk about more later, and some come from our true self. And the true self feelings are actually messages from God. When we reflect and sort through our feelings, we can find which messages are from God. So here I ask, how are you feeling? I'm not saying, are you feeling okay? Are you feeling sad? I'm asking, how are you feeling? The English language uses words to mean different things. Here, I'm considering the way we treat our feelings. We can be afraid of feelings. It's a reasonable reaction because it acknowledges that feelings are powerful, and it is true that feelings are powerful, and we can be afraid of powerful things like this badly drawn dog. But powerful things do not have to be scary and avoid it. If you can learn to manage something powerful, it can work in our favor. So how about if you imagine that feeling is like another one of our senses? We have hearing, seeing, taste, smell, touch, and feeling. Think about feeling as being another one of your senses. We are able to receive information through feeling, just like our other senses. We should not ignore our senses. If we cover our ears and eyes, we are helpless, immobilized, and isolated, unable to notice all the information around us. In a similar way, if we ignore our feelings, we are not getting useful information about our internal environment. It's like covering the status bar on your phone, so you don't know what time it is, or how much battery you have left, or you've got a text message telling you to come to the correct hospital. It would be like throwing away all your posts without checking if it was actually junk mail or an invitation to the Queen's birthday party, Or maybe a reminder to go to the Chelsea and Westminster Hospital for your ultrasound scan. Like your other senses, your feelings can help to navigate and to guide you. Pete Scazzaro says in his book, ignoring our emotions is turning our back on reality. Listening to our emotions ushers us into reality, and reality is where we meet God. Emotions are the language of the soul. They are the cry that gives the heart a voice. Having said we should not ignore our feelings, we also have an equal responsibility to reflect on the source of our feelings. We should not blindly trust our senses. Sometimes our senses are fooled. Like you look at this triangle and say, well, I can see it, this image is real, but it's an optical illusion. So we have to be able to tell which of our feelings are real and which ones are illusions. For instance, when you're sitting on a train, and the train next to it starts moving along, and you think you're moving, is the sound on for the PC? I'm going to show you another illusion next. This is called the shepherd tone, and it's an audio illusion that sounds like the tone is always rising. There's 5 minutes of it. It doesn't get any higher. So sometimes we have to be careful about what our senses are telling us. This darkened street is where I used to live in London, and there was one evening where I famously remember coming home from the office, and I heard the creak of a bicycle, like pedals on the bicycle coming towards me. It sounded like on the pavement. I was quite concerned. I said, oh, there's a bicycle on the pavement, I better get out of the way. It was going, and honestly, it got louder and louder and louder, and it didn't appear. It's sort of like the sound approached me, and there was no cyclist there. Ooh, ghost cyclist. And actually, for years, I couldn't really work out what had gone wrong, because I heard it, and then it sort of like faded away in the distance. And like some years later, I heard the same sound, and it is the sound of a pigeon's wings flapping. So sometimes when you expect to see certain things, you create an image that doesn't reflect reality. What we sense and feel can come from unreliable sources and mislead us. It can lead us to do the wrong things, and then make us not do the right things. We have to be aware of the source of our feelings. Like email and spam mail, you don't throw away all your email. Like junk and real mail, false advertising, we just have to discern the information. Pete says, listening to our emotions ushers us into reality where we meet God. So our feelings are like a lighthouse that leads us to safety. But just like lighthouses, we have to know the source of the beacon. We have to find a balance between our feelings and our intellect. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, wrote about finding the balance between intellect and feeling, that we should not rationalize everything and we shouldn't do everything based on just our emotions. True feelings are a gift from God. All feelings are real, like all mail is real, junk mail is real, nuisance calls are real, but they are not true. So, in the same way, false feelings are real, are really felt, but they don't come from God. And true feelings are really felt, and they do come from God. We must handle true feelings from God, even when they are difficult. And we must ignore false feelings, not from God, even when they are attractive. What lies in the way of us discovering our true self? Our God image self. There are temptations to define our identities in terms of worldly things. The Emotionally Healthy Spirituality book highlights the three P's of false self. First is performance. I am what I do. During Jesus' 40 days in the desert, in the wilderness, Satan challenges Jesus to perform the miracle of falling from a high place and having the angels rescue him. But Jesus refuses to define himself by performing the miracle. Do not test the Lord your God. The second P is possession. I am what I have. Last week when Stefan spoke to us about the rich young ruler, he was convinced his identity was in what he had. He had so much that he thought he was certain to be justified in Jesus' eyes. But Jesus said to him, you have to give up all your possessions to inherit eternal life. And that reveals the true identity of the rich young ruler. The third P is popularity. I am what others think of me. In Mark chapter 2, verse 15, we read that while Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked the disciples, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus didn't care that the religious leaders frowned upon his association with sinners. In our Twitter, Instagram culture, there is more and more pressure to measure ourselves according to how many followers and how many likes we get. But the only follow that matters is that we follow Jesus. Jesus was not defined by the false selves of performance, possession, or popularity. Jesus gave us a living example of the true self, to be defined as one immensely loved by God. Not only should we follow Jesus, but through him, God follows us back. God follows us back. In the So Will I song we just sang, it says, God's the one who never leaves the one behind. Our true self comes from experiencing God's love and acceptance of us. So we can love and accept ourselves. And this is the starting point of our emotional health. This starting point is the anchor. This word they use, differentiation. And it's a word that is both long and confusing, so I've tried to use the image of the anchor. The idea of an anchor for a ship is that it has to stay in one place, but it has to be connected to another place. It works by being stable, but also by being connected. When we realize our true self, we are anchored in God, and that stability connects us to the world around us, to those that we love. When we follow our true self, we will disappoint many people. Jesus was his true self, and he disappointed his family, his hometown, they tried to throw him off a cliff, his disciples, his public listeners, but he didn't do any of these things for them. The source of his self was not selfless nor selfish. He gave out of his love for others. There'll be great pressure to live a life that is not our own, and we have to find the balance of being certain of our identity and self while being connected to God's children all around us. So, who am I? It's not a quiz, I'm Yinch. No, I'm asking you to ask yourself, who am I? About developing your authentic self. Finding your core, finding your true self. Some years ago, there was the smoke detector on my landing started making that beeping noise that it has when the batteries are low. So I took the battery out to change the battery. And after it took the battery out, it was still beeping. That's curious. Okay, so I put a battery in. After I was still beeping, I said, oh, that must be a bad battery. So I took the battery out again, still beeping. And half an hour later, it was still beeping with the battery thing. I was going, oh, maybe this capacitor, maybe it's doing this and maybe it's doing that. In the end, I took clippers and I cut the wire. I was so desperate to make it stop beeping. And after I cut the wire, it was still beeping. It turned out that on top of the cupboard in a box next to the smoke detector was another smoke detector. It is important that we know the source of our feelings, because else we spend all effort in rationalizing why it's one way when the reality is somewhere else. So to develop your authentic self, first we have to be still. If you pay attention to your interior in silence. We want to be men and women God has called us to be, our true selves in Christ. The world and the people around are constantly trying to help us become more like them. But just like David couldn't wear Saul's armor, the armor of other people is not suited to us. We have to find our own size. If you ever had worn shoes the wrong size or clothes the wrong size, you'll see how uncomfortable it is. We need to be alone so that we can listen. We need to make spaces to process our emotions in silence and solitude. Find trusted companions. The big change required to shed our false layers is a big task. Finding mature companions to help you along the way is the only way you can achieve this radical change. It's something that you can't do alone. Can you imagine? Trying to be alone is a thing that you can't do alone. It's a tricky balance, but your mature companions will understand what you need. Two things will stand in the way of us trying to make this change in ourselves: the pressure of others to keep living our lives that are not our own, and our own stubborn self, which is resistant to change. Ask God to send you the companions you need, or to help you recognize who it is that you already know. The third thing we can do is to move out of our comfort zones. Me being up here speak to you is me moving out of my comfort zone. The change we require will need us to move away from comfortable patterns we have established to protect ourselves from certain feelings, but know that it is normal to feel awkward, and the prize of getting to know your true self is greater than the pain of the transition. It's not going to be an easy change, but the prize is great. The prize is closeness with God. And when you change, there will be opposition from those around you. Your new truthful self will be challenged by the people who formed around expectations of your old self. There will be consequences as you seek to really grow. Pray for courage to continue in the face of opposition. So those of you who fell asleep after I said it was instructions about emotions, here's a summary slide. Pay attention to your feelings. Discern which are feelings from your true self. Hear from God in silence and solitude. Take courage and find support to help you grow more into your true self. And if that's too long, here's a picture. You see here? Feelings, 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 feelings. God created your true self, false self. You follow the line to see where your feelings are coming from. See, I could have just shown you at the beginning and you could have all gone for lunch 20 minutes earlier. Over the next 3 weeks, we will continue the Knowing series with talks on resolving conflicts, knowing your thought life, and knowing your limits. But if you can't wait that long, in the bookstore, we have these three books: Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, and How People Grow, and Boundaries. I am told that they are £8 each at the bookstore. As we call the band back on stage, let us pray the words from Thomas Merton's An Ascent to Truth. Lord, help me to be still before you. Lead me to a greater vision of who you are, and in so doing, may I see myself. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Grant me the courage to follow you, to be faithful, to become the unique person you have created me to be. I ask you for the Holy Spirit's power to not copy another person's life or journey. God, submerge me in the darkness of your love, that the consciousness of my false everyday self falls away from me like a soiled garment. May my deep self fall into your presence, knowing you alone. And taking the words spoken at the beginning of service, Shalom, let us destroy the authority of that binds me to chaos. In Jesus' name, Amen.